Turn your Bibles again to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Last week we talked about that the Word of God is inspired from God, is actually God breathed. Tonight we are going to talk about a subject that is needed in some churches now.
Amen.
What's needed in our lives? What the world needs is the Bible. And we need to understand that the Bible is the final authority. When we see, "Thus saith the Lord," that settles it.
Amen.
We don't lean to our own understanding. We trust in Him. And we're going to look at Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, as a start to this message tonight on the Bible being the final authority. And in our text tonight, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect to all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." In the way of introduction, we see four things in this passage as a springboard to study about the Bible as the final authority. The first of all is that there's a promise of happiness in the Word of God.
Amen.
Blessed means to be happy. When are you happy? When you have nothing to worry about. When you're right before God, you're undefiled in the way. When are you happy? When you know you're going the right way and you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus. When are you happy? When you keep God's testimonies.
Amen.
When are you happy? When you put your whole heart in to following God. You want to find out all the characteristics? Go read Matthew chapter 5, the first 16 verses. And it talks about being blessed. There's promise of happiness in the Word of God. There's a promise of holiness in the Word of God in verses 3 and 4. They also do no iniquity. If we have our mind set on God, we won't have our mind set on other things. When we go His way, we won't go the wrong way. We need to listen to God's command that we keep His precepts diligently. You know, there's a lot of half-heartedness in the world today. Just enough. Good enough. No, we need the best for God.
Amen.
So there's the promise of happiness in the Word of God. There's the promise of holiness in the Word of God. But there's a problem presented to follow the Word of God. And it's a problem that we all have at some time. And verse 5 is, "Oh, that my ways were directed." You know, sometimes we turn our back on God. Sometimes we go out of the way. Sometimes we wind up in situations that we shouldn't be in the first. And then we go, "Oh, I just wish I had done the right thing. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes." That's counterculture today, folks. To keep holiness. To be happy in God. To acknowledge that there is a God, to acknowledge that there is an absolute standard, that's counterculture today. And then shall I not be ashamed. You know why we're ashamed as Christians? Because we're not necessarily doing what God wants us to do. But he who calls on the Lord shall not be what? Ashamed or confounded. But when are we not ashamed? When we have respect to all His commandments. Now here's the counterpart of this. If you call yourself a Christian and you call yourself a believer, and you say you're a disciple of Christ, and you don't respect God's word, you ought to be ashamed.
Amen.
You ought to be ashamed. It's a problem that's presented. And the problem is that we need to follow God's word. It's hard. It's hard. It takes the Holy Spirit to do it. It takes God's grace to do it. Mm-hmm. Lastly is the perspective that's needed to live by the word of God. Verse 7 says, when I have learned thy righteous judgments, then I will praise thee because my heart is upright. When I keep God's statutes, I won't feel that God's forsaken me. God never forsakes. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. We turn our back on God.
Amen.
He's always there. Amen. And so, I love Psalm 119 because it talks about the Word of God. We study it. But the issue is that we need to understand that God is God, and He's creator, and He's all powerful, and He's all truth, and He's all light. And His word is an absolute standard. This week we're talking to one of our kids that's going to another church and said, yeah, this is what this pastor said. What? You need to leave. It's not right. It's not right. So three things tonight on the Bible is the final authority. For this church, and for you as a Christian, you should have the Bible as your final authority in doctrine.
Amen.
The Bible is the final authority in this church for faith and practice.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
If it says in the Bible not to do it, we won't do it. If it says in the Bible to do it, we will do it to the best of our ability. You know, the reason the Bible is the final authority in doctrine is because it reveals the truth of God's word. Last week we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 because it talks about that all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Peter writes that holy men of old were moved by the Spirit to write down what God said to do. Not what they felt. It's what God told them to write. But the second part of this verse is the important one. And is profitable. You know what profitable means? It'll do a good thing. It'll help you. It'll solve the issues. It says profitable for doctrine, what we believe. For reproof when we believe the wrong way. For correction when we go astray. Just like he says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. For instruction in righteousness. You know, you don't know how to do the right thing unless you know what the right thing says.
Right.
We need to follow God's instruction. So the Bible is the final authority in doctrine because it reveals the truth of God's word and it teaches sound doctrine. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. When we talk about God, we don't put our own opinion in it. It's what God says. It's what the Bible says. Which means what? We need to know it. We need to hide its word in our heart that we won't sin against him. Paul is writing to Titus here and he's down. He's the pastor in Crete. And there's a lot of whole ideas about what the Bible means. Some call it a myth. Some call it a bunch of stories. It's truth.
Amen.
And we need to understand and to hold it as truth. And we need to speak based on its truth and not what we think truth is. So the Bible is the final authority in doctrine because it reveals the truth of God. It teaches sound doctrine because we need to speak out of those things which become sound doctrine. And then it protects against false doctrine. We've been studying through Timothy, and Timothy is encouraged several times now about watching out for false teachers and speaking the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, this is why we need to understand the truth of God's word and follow sound doctrine. It says that we henceforth be no more children. It's time to grow up to the full measure of the stature of Christ. It's time to become mature. It's time to get off of milk and start eating the meat of God's word. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Remember when you were a child and you were precocious? You were this way and you were that way. And it all depended on who you were around or what you were doing or what you wanted. And that's the way it drove you. You can't be like that. Because God's word is one way. It's a standard. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Here's something good. Hey, let's go after that. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If you're not watching, we're supposed to walk circumspectly as wise. We need to walk because the days are evil. We need to walk because there are wolves that are entered in sheep's clothing. We need to walk because there's false teachers, as Paul told the church at Ephesus on his way back to Jerusalem for the last time. We need to watch. The Bible is the final authority and doctrine. We need to agree with that. If we don't agree with that, we have an issue. We're not agreed and we can't walk together. We need to walk together with God. It reveals the truth of God's word. It teaches sound doctrine. And it protects against false doctrine. Oh, the next one. I get in all sorts of discussions now in my Bible class in school. The Bible is the final authority in morality.
Amen.
Where does it say in God's word that two people who know God can live together without marriage? Where does it say in God's word that God made a mistake in the way he made you? Where does it say in God's word that you can just go off and do any old thing and God just loves you back to heaven? No. The Bible's the final authority in morality because it does one fundamental thing first. It defines right and wrong. It defines right and wrong. Psalm 33, verse 4 says this, "For the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth." Paul has the struggle of his spiritual walk in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Romans 7, he puts this all out and he talks about those things that I know I need to do, I just can't find the ability to do it. And those things that I know I shouldn't do, that's easy to do. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." In Romans 7, 7, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, by the word of God. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, or the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet."
Amen.
But you know something? That was back then. That's not for now. We're a lot smarter now. We have evolved to a higher level of consciousness. No, we need to get back on our knees.
Amen.
And get humble and walk in God's footsteps.
Amen.
The Bible is a final authority in morality because it defines right and wrong. Lying is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Murder is wrong. Illicit sex is wrong. Immorality is wrong. It's all wrong. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong.
Amen. Come on.
If the Bible says it's right, it's right.
Amen.
It's right, it's right.
Do righteousness. Do truth. It commands us to live a holy life. Leviticus 20, verse 7. I threw up Peter here for the same thing because he's quoting this. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 says this to the nation of Israel in the wilderness. It says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. God doesn't want to use a dirty vessel. Do you go and you take something out of your dishwasher or something out of the dirty dishes in the sink and use it to drink a glass or serve a meal or cook something with it? No, you use a clean utensil. Okay? Sanctify yourself. Clean yourself. Be pure so God can use you for the purpose He's intended for you. Therefore, and be ye holy. Okay? You can put a W in front of it and be holy, holy in every area of your life. For I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. A lot of people say to me right now is that the Old Testament doesn't apply anymore. Mm-hmm. The Old Testament didn't apply anymore, then why did the New Testament writers quote it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the issue is, it commands us to live a holy life. In Psalm 19, verse 11, moreover by them, by God's judgments, by God's precepts, by God's statutes, by God's word, moreover by them, what? Those words of God. Is thy servant warned? We need to realize something else. We're not a servant to ourselves, we're a servant to God. Yes, talked about that this morning. We're called to do a life of service. Is by serving your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The Bible is the final authority because it is the source and it defines what is right and what is wrong. The Bible is a final authority because it commands us to be different and not like the world. You know what was happening in Isaiah's day? They were calling evil good and good evil. You know what's happening in our day? People are calling evil good and good evil. Nothing's changed. There's nothing new under the sun. It provides the standards for personal conduct. You know, when someone says something first, you got to listen to it. Okay? In Christ's first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, that's recorded in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Mm-hmm. You can't do that on your own. This is God's standard, and we need God's relationship and the Holy Spirit to live like that. Psalm 119, verse 133 says this. Order my steps, how? In thy word. Well, Mr. Drew, you mean that you use the Bible for every decision in your life? I try to. Quote, that takes all the fun out of life. We have a spiritual problem here. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So the Bible is the final authority in morality. And I don't care what the consensus of society says, and really it's not the consensus of society. I don't care about how we were engineered or how biology works and anything like that. I want to know what God's word says. And that's what I'm going to follow.
Amen.
The Bible's a final authority in doctrine. The Bible's a final authority in morality. Lastly, the Bible is the final authority in judgment.
Yes, sir.
You know something? When we leave this life and we go into the next, the very first thing we do is we stand before God.
Amen.
It says, there's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we need to understand that God's word, the Bible, will be used to judge all mankind.
Amen.
In John chapter 12, verse 48, it says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my" what?
Words.
Words. The words of who? God. "Hath one that judgeth him." Who? God the Father.
Amen.
"The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day." We will all stand before the before God. And we'll have to give an account, even of every idle word.
Amen.
Every idle word. And you know what the standard's going to be?
God.
This.
Amen.
You know, in order to be convicted in court, you have to be found evidence that you violated the law. In order to be proven innocent, you have to show that you have evidence of not breaking the law or committing the crime. God's word is a standard for the verdict of our life. You know what God's word says? Get saved. This is the will of God concerning you. It will judge all mankind. The Bible will reveal the consequences of sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And there are no exceptions. If you die without Christ, you are condemned to be separated from God for eternity in a place called hell. If you accept Christ as your Savior, when you die, Christ paid the price of your sin on the cross.
Amen.
And He's made a home for you in heaven. And He will receive you unto Himself. Because the Bible, the Word of God, brings salvation through Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says this, "Wherefore the law, or the Word of God, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." The purpose of the Word of God is to bring the sinner to a point in his life he realizes he's going to miss heaven because of his sin. And that all the prophecies about Christ was fulfilled in him. And that Christ made a way before the foundation of the world to die on the cross for our sins. And God had a plan that we might be justified by faith. And our faith is based on the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the" what?
Word.
The Word of God. If the Bible is collecting dust in your house, you better dust it off and start reading.
Amen.
If you don't open it up, except on special things, you don't know what it means. The Bible is the final authority in every area of our lives. Doctrine, for conduct and morality, and for judgment. We need to embrace the truth of God's Word.
Right.
We need to do that. We need to acknowledge that it is the standard for living. We need to affirm in this church it's the way we're going to practice faith. Because we're going to be judged by it. So as a close, is the Bible the final authority in your life? If not, why not? It needs to be. It needs to be. Do you know Him as your Savior? If not, you need to be saved. Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross in place of us for our sins. He paid the wages of sin, which was death, for us. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again, to show He has the power to overcome death, therefore overcome sin, so he can forgive sin and give eternal life.
Amen.
And he asked all to do that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You need to trust in that tonight if you haven't done it before. For us, let's get off of what we think, what other people say, what other books say, and let's just get to this one foundation. This is the sure foundation.
Amen.
The wise man built his house upon a rock. Mm-hmm. Jesus is our rock of salvation.
Amen.
And this is God's word. And we need to follow it. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask you with time and invitation, Father, just search our hearts. See if there's areas, Lord, where we need the Bible to come in and be this authority that it needs to be. Lord, help us to turn to you tonight. And help us, Lord, to decide to follow you even more. We thank you and ask all these things in Jesus' name.